And welcome back to School Spirit here on Armor of God Catholic Radio. This is Tom McDew, and Ms. Robin Spencer is again joining me. And over the course of the next couple weeks, we're going to kind of dive into one very particular aspect of our Catholic schools, and that's the curriculum itself. And I think we'll find out over the next couple weeks, really, this is one of the separators. This is one of the things that makes our Catholic schools really, really unique. And so Robin and I have brought in a couple of experts, Ms. Misty Poe, who is the superintendent of Catholic schools for the Diocese of Austin, and Ms. Kelly Laster, who is the assistant superintendent for schools here in the diocese. And ladies, thank you both for sharing your knowledge with us today.
Thank you for having us.
So let's just dive right in here. We often hear this term classical education. And that word, I think, gets bandied around a lot. So what does that really mean for our Catholic schools here in the diocese?
So the Catholic, the classical model really has its roots in the seminaries and the Catholic schools in the 18th and 19th, 20th century, where religious were teaching. And it really centered on our Catholic identity. And how do we help students understand how God has created them and this integration of all the areas of our world that God has created? And what does that mean for us as a student? And how do we discern our purpose? And so that's the piece, I think, that is still alive in our Catholic schools. And I think is very important to the purpose of a Catholic school. So here in the Diocese of Austin, we want to make sure that Catholic identity is the root of everything that goes into the school. And then that classical instructional model, I believe there are, well, I know there are pieces of that in all of our schools, although some of them use the term classical model, especially in our rural schools, to really call into play that Catholic piece.
Mm-hmm. And so how would you, I guess let's tackle it from this perspective. How would you define a classical school model or educational model?
That is the magic question.
Woohoo! Started good.
Well, we have, because there's classical models in charter schools.
Yeah.
As I say, and there's classical models in Catholic schools. And that true classical piece is that Catholic identity. We often say a classical school is just a great Catholic school. It's what Catholic teaching was built on to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is from the methodology that's being used in the instruction to the text and resources that are being used, really focused on the classics and seeing, as people commonly say, the truth, beauty, and goodness of God's world through that lens and all that they study, and how that applies to them in their current life and living out the mission of the church.
So a classical model is going to look different in a Catholic school than it does in a charter school.
And so that's, how, can you give me an example?
So in a Catholic school, we have the unique ability to take that truth, beauty, and goodness that a classical model is known for, Socratic circles, integration of subject areas, arts, humanities. We're able to take all of that and surround it with our Catholic faith. And so a Catholic classical model is really born with that Catholic faith, in that is the center of the model. Whereas in a charter school, they're not able to use that faith as their foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so the classical model for Catholic schools really does harken back to that time when it was used in seminaries and used in Catholic schools when religious were the ones teaching, because it's centered on our faith.
Yeah.
So when in researching and making this, what I've kind of heard from just the little bit that I hear in the area where I live, in the kind of the deanery where I live, where we have the couple schools that we have, that they say they're going back to the classical model is what, again, the phraseology that I've heard. So So correct me if I'm wrong, or please clear it up. So in researching the different educational models, was it looked at how you just mentioned that back, like when many of our sisters were doing the education in the schools, was it looked at that this model worked best within the realm of keeping the Catholic education and the Catholic life within its model versus other educational models? Did I say that clearly, or the question?
Yeah, you did. Let me think about this for a minute.
While she's thinking, so to your point a little bit, with the classical model, they speak of the trivium and that there's a grammar, logic, and rhetoric stage in teaching that. Many of those components were already in a Catholic school. So grammar, if you were in a Catholic school, you'd remember diagramming sentences, memorizing your multiplication facts, and then going into logic and rhetoric being at the upper school. So it's how things are being taught and the context that's being used to teach those. And so when people say they're going back to that methodology that's been used in the past that proved to be very successful in some cases. In our cases in Catholic schools, many of our Catholic schools either continue to use them as they always have, or depending on their instructional methodology, some are using pieces of this and incorporating with other instructional methods to better meet the needs of the students.
Okay. And then this is a model that can be used at all levels. Is that correct?
Correct.
All grade levels?
Correct.
So how would that compare to, public school X, and what model they might be using?
Maybe use a charter school example.
So, I mean, the biggest difference is that our Catholic identity is front and center. Mm-hmm. So when we are talking about, when we're in literature class, humanities class, where you have English language arts and social studies integrated together, any of science class, any of those classes, we use documents from our faith. We use documents from the Catholic Church. We use classics that are in all literature. So I think a classical school that is a charter school, they're not going to be able to use Vatican documents. They're not going to be able to use church documents. They're not going to be able to use documents that are the foundation of our faith. They're not going to be able to use those to help those kids have, take those critical thinking questions,
Right.
To take a Vatican document, read it, have conversations about it, then start asking questions about it. So that's going to be the biggest difference, is that the number of documents that we use, there's going to be more breadth and depth to it because we're adding in our church documents.
I see.
So the integration of church teaching, of the catechism, of, as you say, Vatican documents and such, are placed within that classical model. Is what I'm hearing, and I think that is beauty. That is truly the beauty of our faith, for us to realize that within our Catholic schools, our children are getting their foundation of our faith, and they're getting it within that. I mean, it just ties naturally into education. Tom, to your point. Or your question, excuse me, in regards to, I can speak from public school, you're speaking from a charter school environment, Misty and Kelly, but I'm an educator, or a retired educator from public school. And I can speak to that, Tom, a little bit, in that there are pieces of the classical model alive and well in public schools. Curriculum varies and changes over time based on your curriculum directors, the state and how it and what it requires as far as curriculum goes. And I don't think that, and the federal government as well. And I don't think that as a Catholic Church, you're bound to quite as many of those requirements because, again, you're not necessarily getting funded from those areas, which is one of the requirements of being funded. You know, if you're going to be funded, you're going to use or do, institute what we're telling you to. And so I know that there's a bill, which is a topic for another day, but I know that there's a bill in Texas right now that will help support private schools in a different area. But I think that, Tom, there's pieces of the classical model in public schools still. It just depends on where you go and what you see. And when you look at somebody's just kind of similarly how a parent would look at the different school that they're going to put their child in their area. Anne spoke to us last week about how she was so blessed with so many schools in her area. And I know that probably in our Austin proper area, we have a blessing for that parents may have a better group to choose from. Our deanery, they're a little bit more spread out.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and Robin, to your point, and going back to Tom's regarding the difference, I think yes. It's that, as you said, there's components of classical education in various schools based on the methodology. What makes a Catholic school special is that ability to share God's love and Amen. That purpose for that child. And in the end, forming disciples. So really taking our faith and integrating it and all that they do in that curriculum across all levels. The other part, a little bit of difference from the public school, as you stated with that classical piece, is really having the students become thinkers, analyze material, think more critically in what they're doing. So the assessments that we give them are not criterion reference where it's, a fact and what's the response, a fact and the answer. It's more critical thinking where they're giving a situation and analyzing the situation and coming up with the response.
Yes. And application so based. Yes.
It is very much application based. So the assessments mm-hmm. we provide are norm reference, which also the grading of it, so to speak, is done differently, but it's really testing their critical thinking skills.
Right.
Yes.
So, folks, if you're just now tuning in, this is Tom McNew, and you're listening to School Spirit and Misty Poe and Kelly Laster, who work in the superintendent's office here at down in Austin, the diocese, are joining us today. We're kind of honing in on some of the curriculum differences and uniqueness of our Catholic school, and really honing in on what this phrase of a classical education really means. And I appreciate, Kelly, you were talking about the Catholic identity, and to challenge you just a little bit, we talk about in creating thinkers. 2 + 2 is still 4. Well, it is in most parts of the world still 4. We're not going to get into politics, but so there is still that element of the laws of math and the laws of English still exist regardless of how they're taught and how a student is evaluated on that learning. Is that a correct statement, or am I off base here?
Oh, no, not a, yes, that is an accurate statement. I think the word classical helps us remember the best pieces of education throughout the years. And so taking those best pieces and making sure those are part of the instructional model. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why the word classical has gained so much attention, is because when you think of it, as I get older, I look back on what are those best parts of my instruction. And, a classical model will help you, and a Catholic school model, because honestly, there are pieces of classical, like Misty mentioned, classical mm-hmm. Pieces to all Catholic schools. But what pieces are those, our best practices from years past that we continue to keep with us mm-hmm. because it helps kids understand their understanding of the world, how they fit into it, and what their purpose is supposed to be. And so, you know, making sure you know your multiplication facts is important. Those things help you later on.
Yeah.
Well, and it helps that God's law is natural law. So anything that's going along in nature that's real is, I mean, the truth. God is the truth, right? Mm-hmm. And so in teaching through this classical model, you're using the things that God has given us, the creation that the Lord has given us, and you're integrating his beauty of creating it and then what that looks like, you know, so that it's testable, you know, for the kids so that they have an understanding of that. But I think what the blessing is as well is that when they take this and apply it, then they're able to evangelize, right? They're able to spread the good news of the Lord because it's such a natural way of learning and teaching that it can't help but be a natural extension of what they go out and do in the world.
Absolutely. I think one of the most beautiful pieces of our Catholic education is being able to show our students all of these incredible scientists who, you know, and physicists who are deep into math and science, and many of them who have revealed and uncovered these beautiful laws are Catholic priests, mm-hmm. are, you know, strong Catholics throughout the years. And they were embedded into, you know, math and science. We don't always think about that. But there is this ability in a Catholic school to say, let me tell you about this physicist who also happened to be a Catholic priest, you know, and how he was able to uncover this particular theorem. Mm-hmm. And so it allows children to understand their natural gifts and talents and what that purpose for them might be as they get older.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. Yes. And you mentioned earlier, Kelly, Socratic circles. What does that mean? What is that? Before you go down that road, now you got to remember, I am a product of the Texas public education system. So
you know, interestingly, so am I.
We did not have any conversations about Socratic circles when I was in grade school. So,
you know, I learned this actually when I was a young Catholic school English teacher. So, Socratic circles are really, this is the way I used to use it. So it's the best example I know how to do, but, reading a novel, having the kids reading a novel, a section of a novel, and then having conversations about it. So you literally sit in a circle and the teacher facilitates these questions that are not, they're critical thinking questions. Mm-hmm. You know, you ask questions like, okay, here is this passage. What do you think about when the character says this? And so the whole purpose of Socratic circles is to have kids participate actively in the understanding of the novel, not just, okay, we read the novel, here are some questions, answer them, but have an active discussion about what that might mean in their own lives. How do you apply it? It works very well with classics because these books could be written 100, 200 years ago, but how do they still apply to you now?
Right.
And what that might look like.
Yeah, it invites conversation and with open-ended questions. So it invites that conversation and the kids to be involved.
Yeah, there's a quote from Archbishop Fulton Sheen. He once had said that transferring of information from the teacher's manual to the student's notebook without passing through the mind of either.
Huh.
So
that's a great quote.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
So the Socratic method eliminates that. Yeah. And it allows that dialogue and that critical thinking to happen. And it's just not that going from a teacher's manual to the student's notebook.
And I think the teacher, you know, has a critical role in making sure they facilitate it correctly so that all kids are participating. Because you want all kids to be able to start thinking about this. Well, what does this look like for me? What did this passage mean to me? So it's not just having kids talk, but just be very intentional about what that conversation looks like.
Right. And I recognize that some of this, there's some of the artwork of being an educator. And when you've got a group of 8, 10, 12 young people trying to get all 8, 10, 12 of them to participate, you know, sometimes it's like pulling teeth, literally. So I recognize that. But it would seem to me that in an environment where you're asking for their opinion or their thoughts or what they think about, like you said, a particular passage in a piece of classical literature, that allows for a little more free participation than, you know, going to the chalkboard and doing long division problems.
Absolutely. I think it also is important, though, for the teachers, especially in our Catholic schools, to understand their faith, because you want to help guide these students at the same time and help them understand what the Catholic Church might be saying about this particular subject that comes up, you know, in these conversations. So it's delicate, but it's important to have, and it helps these kids understand their own faith and what it looks like for them.
Well, and it also teaches them how to not debate, but have a dialogue or discussion where they may or may not agree with someone else in a very respectful manner.
Yeah.
And understanding their faith. And to this day, we as adults still see it differently in certain aspects of our Catholic Church, but being able to respect one another's opinions and being able to articulate that in a respectful manner.
Yeah. Arguably an art that is lost in a lot of portions of today's society.
And it's very freeing. It's very freeing as a Catholic educator, because, you know, if your Catholic faith is a part of who you are and part of what your life is, and you go and teach in the public school arena and you have to hold yourself back from integrating that into your day, because it's natural to want to do that. And as an educator in the Catholic school, that it just can be, it's very freeing. It can come out naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wonderful in that regard.
So we got just a couple minutes left here, and so I want to, and we're going to have to pick back up a couple of these questions on next week if we can, you know, get y'all back, because I really want to dive into a little bit more of, you know, this of how we're evaluating this, how at the in the individual classroom, and then across the school system itself, you know, how we're evaluating some of these again, because it's real easy to have a bunch of kids stand at the board and do long division, or just, you know, true false till they're blue in the face, which again, as you the Fulton Sheen quote, you know, it doesn't necessarily get lodged between the ears very well. So but before we had that, you know, that conversation, I just kind of want to get into a little bit of, once we've decided, and I'm using the royal we've decided that this is how we're going to educate the school children in all the schools here across the diocese, there's an element of making sure, and Kelly, you kind of broached it, that the teachers understand what their role is in this. And we're probably going to pick this back up next week, because we just got only a couple minutes here, but that training and that the educating the educators is a big challenge, I would imagine.
It can be. I mean, I think there's a few things that we've done in the diocese that have been very important. One of those is we have a new employee orientation. So we make sure that as new teachers are onboarding, they all come to the diocese and we talk about what it means to be a Catholic school educator.
Yeah. Kelly, I'm sorry. You kind of got a little low there. Can you start over again? I'm sorry.
Sure. No problem. There are a few things we've done here in the Diocese of Austin to make sure that we support Catholic school teachers. One of those is the new teacher orientation. And so all new employees, teachers and staff, come for an orientation in early August. And we talk to them about what it means to be a Catholic school employee. The majority of our employees are Catholic, but there are a few that are non-Catholic. And And so it's important for us to help them understand on the front end what it looks like to be a Catholic school employee. Mm-hmm. There's another piece that I think is really important, and this is something that Bishop Vasquez, which we truly are going to miss.
Yes.
We are going to miss him. One thing that he has, that has been very important to him, is that all teachers, whether they teach religion or not, have at least 50 hours of professional development, a foundation of the Catholic faith. Whether they teach religion or not, whether they're Catholic or not, they all have to have at least 50 hours. And we do that through Franciscan at Home, and that is an asynchronous learning model that they can use. And then Catholic school teachers have to have 150 hours. So if they're teaching the faith, they have to have that. And there's some ongoing professional development there. But it helps everybody at least have that foundation about what it's, what it means to work and teach in a Catholic school.
Yeah. Fascinating. Fascinating. We're going to put a pin in it for this week. And y'all can come back next week and finish this conversation. Is that?
Of course.
All right. Awesome. Folks, this is Tom McNew, and you're listening to School Spirit here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. And I appreciate y'all tuning in. If you missed any part of today's episode with Miss Misty Poe and Miss Kelly Laster, we will rebroadcast this on Sunday afternoon. And so if you, even if you want to listen to it again, just tune back in on Sunday at 12 o'clock and we will rebroadcast this. And we'll pick back up our conversation here next week and further look into this this curriculum aspects of our Catholic schools. And we hope you guys will come back and join us next week. And remember to put on the armor of God.